Do you want to get rid of that brittle hair, dry skin, and chlorine after smell that comes with swimming? Well, say hello to today's podcast partner, Tryhard Skin and Hair Care, and they have the answer to that quandary. I've been testing out their products both before and after my swim sessions, and let me tell you, the results are nothing short of magic. No more dry, brittle hair or irritated skin, and the chlorine perfume has vanished and been replaced with really nice smelling lotions and potions. Tryhard isn't just a solution, it's a chlorine busting revolution. And because you're part of the Torpedo Swim Talk family, Tryhard is splashing you with an exclusive offer. Use the code TORPEDOSWIMTALK at checkout for 20% off all products and an extra 5% during sales. The link to this offer is in our show notes. Hello, swimmers, and welcome to another episode of Torpedo Swim Talk podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Sperling, and each week we chat to a master swimmer from around the world about their swimming journey. On today's episode, we meet a truly extraordinary guest, open water and ice swimmer extraordinaire, Peter Plavik. Situated in Vienna, Peter explores the icy lakes and rivers all around Europe, and he shares with us how he deals with those ultra-cold temperatures and emerges not just surviving but thriving. We cover how to acclimatise and train for swimming in extreme temperatures, and also chat about the Ice Swimming World Championships, which Peter has medalled at. Let's hear from Peter now. Hi, Peter. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. What's the weather like in Vienna today?
Oh, you know, it's not the nicest weather at the moment. You know, we have winter time, so it's like maybe plus five degrees Celsius. Quite cold, yeah.
Yes, quite cold. Is there lots of snow around already?
We had a lot of snow, but the last few days there was some plus degrees and it melted already again, so it's gone. No more snow at the moment here in Vienna, but in the other parts of the Austria, there is a lot of snow, yes.
And is there a white Christmas predicted for you? Do you know that yet?
No, it is not. No, I was watching the news today in the morning and the weather forecast, and it looks like there will be no white Christmas, no.
Oh,
and I think the last time we had last Christmas was like 15 years ago or something like that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, I spent a Christmas in Steuben, which is, I skied there for a week and we spent a white Christmas. Yeah. It was magical, beautiful place of the world to live in. Yeah, yeah. How many swims have you managed this week?
This week, two only, because Monday, Tuesday, I was not feeling very well. So I just started yesterday with two swims already on one day. Yeah, the first 2 days were off, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's dive deep into your swimming. You swim both open water marathon swimming and ice swimming. And I'm just wondering if you could share with us a little bit about how you got involved in both of those areas.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I started like 6 or 7 years ago, so not so long time ago. And I met a friend in Vienna. He's called Josef Köbel. He is one of the most famous ice swimmers here in Austria and also maybe in the world. So I met him and he showed me the way, because I was doing some cold exposure, you know, I was just going into the cold water for some health benefits. And he showed me that it's possible not only go into the water, but also to swim. And I found it as an interesting sport. So I starting to do this ice swimming. And the next step was to do the marathon swimming, you know, because if you are swimming the whole winter time and you are swimming in the open waters, and then if you continue in the summer and swim longer and longer distances, so somehow these two sports belong together.
So you sort of, you do the ice swimming in winter, obviously, and then sort of move into
the ice swimming in winter, yeah, and in the summer it's too warm here. So there's not really a possibility to do some ice swimming. So that's why I just train the long distances in the summer. Yeah.
And so where do you find places to do your ice swimming around Vienna? Where are your sort of locations?
In Vienna, we have a very good possibilities to do it. You know, we have the Danube, that's the biggest river, and it has small parts where the water is not moving, and it is almost like a lake, you know. So the water is very clear, very nice, and there's always a chance to go in and have a nice swim.
Is there any temperature that you won't go in?
No, there's not. I'm normally going until 0 degrees, and below 0 degrees is ice, so there's no more chance to go in. Maybe only if you cut a hole and sit inside for a few minutes, but there's no chance to swim, no.
So how do you sort of acclimatize yourself to be able to swim at that low temperature? And how long can you sort of last in something like 1 degrees?
Okay, so I try to acclimatize all year long. So I'm not wearing so much clothes also in the winter time. I'm trying to have some light clothes only and not big jackets or things like this. And and that helps me to work with this cold. And when I started, I was going only for short distances. You know, I started maybe with 50 meters, and then I was swimming it a few weeks, and then I did 100 and 200, and then I worked up to more and more. And now I'm doing the longest possible distances. So it's in the race. It is the 1,000-meter race. That's the longest race which is done worldwide. And the longest which I did was the ice mile. That means 1,609 meters in water under 5 degrees Celsius. Yeah. And I was not a really good swimmer that time when I did it. So it took me 34 minutes. So it was a tough one.
And is there any special equipment that you need for ice swimming?
Not really. You know, you need just a cap, goggles, and speedos, and maybe earplugs or a buoy to be seen in the sea or in the lake. But that's it. You don't really need nothing. You just need to go in and swim.
Yeah. So obviously when you do your races, which I want to ask you a bit about in a moment, that's in speedos. But do you do your training in ice swimming in a wetsuit, or you go bathers all year?
No, I never tried the wetsuit.
Right, okay.
I don't really know how it feels because I never had one. So I'm wearing only speedos or some race jammers in a race, but that's it.
Yeah, okay. And do you adapt your swimming technique depending on the cold? Like, do you have to adapt your breathing pattern or the way you move your arms in the water? How does your technique sort of...
Not really. You know, I'm training at the moment 7 times a week. From this are 5 in a pool and 2 outside in the lake or in the sea. And I try to swim in the pool as nice as possible, so with a great technique, and then I can transfer it to the cold water as well, you know, because in the cold you don't really feel your hands and your feet, and the technique is not so good. But if you are trying to swim as perfect as possible in the pool, then you can memorize this good technique and transfer it to the cold water also.
And you've sort of raced in a few ice swimming world championships. Can you tell us where they're held and what kind of pool that is in?
Yeah, I raced, I think I raced like 3 years ago, the first time in the winter swimming world championship in Lake Bled in Slovenia. It was in a beautiful lake with a beautiful view and a small island with a church on it and everything. Everywhere snow, so amazing conditions. Yeah, and that was my first big race. And I was like 4th or 5th and 7th. So it was not the best 3. And I got motivated there that I want to win, you know, because I saw there's the chance. I just need to work harder and swim more and more. So I tried 1 year later the ice swimming world championship in Poland, in Głogów. And I won the 500 meter in my age group. And I got second on the 1,000 meter and third on the 250 meter or something like this. Yeah. So, and then I knew that this sport is really for me, and I just need to do it more and more and more, because I love the training part, but I love the racing as well, you know, this whole atmosphere and everything. Yeah. So, and then last year, I went again to a big race. That was the Winter Swimming World Championship. It was again in Lake Bled in Slovenia. And I won the 1,000 meter category in my age group. So that was my goal, you know, to win the 1,000 meters, the longest distance. And I had it, yeah. So it was a really great feeling. And this year in 2024, so in February and March, we will have two big races again. That will be, one will be the European Ice Swimming Championship in Romania. And 1 month later, there will be a Winter Swimming World Championship in Estonia, in Tallinn, which will be really, really cold.
Do they set up a pool in, say, in Lake Bled? So they've got lane ropes and walls that you turn at?
Yeah. They set up a pool in a lake, and the shorter distances will be held in this pool, or were held in this pool, and the longer ones were in open water. So there was two or three buoys, and we were swimming the circles. Yeah.
Right. And so do you dive in and do tumble turns as well in the race?
No tumble turns. No. You can do only open turn.
Right.
Because of the safety. Yeah. So you are swimming in a regular pool, but the rules are very similar to FINA rules, but with small changes, you know. So no, there is, the start is from the water, so no jump and no tumble turn, but only open turn. Yeah.
Right. And any other rule changes that are different?
I don't think so. These two are the most important. If yes, then maybe something smaller. I don't know 100%.
And is it just freestyle, or do they do all the strokes as well?
No, they do all the strokes. Yeah, the most of it. So the longer distance is for sure only freestyle, but the shorter ones, there is also butterfly, breaststroke, backstroke, everything. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, coming from Australia, we don't have ice swimming here. So it's really intriguing to learn all about it, because it seems to be very, very big in Europe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it has a big history, you know, and yeah, you know, it's a sport. Sport is normally healthy, you know, like swimming is very healthy. Everybody knows. But ice swimming is one step more, you know, because of the cold exposure, it is more healthy than the regular sport, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have to have any sort of special mental strategies that you sort of employ to cope with that kind of cold water and the cold water racing?
I think you have to, but it's, you know, when you start to swim in ice water, you will be automatically stronger mentally, you know, because it's a kind of pain. If you go to the very, very cold water, it's a kind of pain, and you need to be mentally strong to accept this pain. You know, and you are doing it for longer and longer, longer times. You can accept it better and better, and after a while it will be easier. Yeah. So if it's good if you are already mentally strong, but if you are not, you will be.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And someone coming to ice swimming for the first time, what sort of tips could you give them that they could use to get better at it?
Okay, so my most important tip is to bring some warm tea. You know, because if you come out of the water, every small help is needed. Yeah, but you just need to have the equipment, you know, like the towel, some jackets, and yeah, speedos, goggles, and you just go in for the first time is maybe enough, just 2 or 3 minutes, just to stay in the cold, accept it, and to feel this pain. And after that, to go out to drink some tea, warm up, and enjoy the positive feelings after it. And then the next time you can start to swim a little bit, maybe first time only breaststroke with head up, so not putting your face into the cold water. And then if it also feels good and everything, you can do it maybe 2-3 times, and then maybe start to do a shorter distance with freestyle.
Yeah, good advice. Yeah.
It is very important to start it slow, for a shorter time and then slowly do more and more and more. You know, it's not good to jump in and try to do 500 meter at the first time because maybe you can't do it and it can be too risky. And so start slowly. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, great advice. And can you give us a bit of an insight into a typical training week? I know you this week you felt a little bit sick, but normally what does it look like? How often do you train? Who do you train with?
Yeah, so how I said, I trained 7 times a week. Yeah, there's one day off. So I'm splitting these 7 swims to 6 days. One day is free. And I go 2 times to swim outside in the cold water and 5 times in the pool. And my normal pool sessions are somewhere between 3 and 5K per session. And outside in the lake, it depends on the season. So in the summertime, I go for longer swims outside, somewhere maybe between 3 and 10K per session. And in the winter time, always depends from the water temperature. You know, so the colder the water is, the shorter the distance. So I was like yesterday, I did 650 meters in the cold water, and then I had 2 hours break, and then I did a 3K session in the pool.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Do you swim with other people or by yourself?
If I'm going to swim outside, I always swim with some friends because, you know, because of the safety, it's always better not to do it alone. You can never know what can happen. You don't feel well or something. So, and it's also more funny to swim with somebody else, you know, in the open water. So I do it always with some other people, 2 or 3 guys joining me, and we go together. And in the pool, I'm going once per week with a squad, and the other days on my own.
Right. And do you, the days that you work alone, do you have a coach set those programs, or you make them up yourself? You follow a training plan?
I'm following a training plan made by a coach, yeah.
And so how big is the squad that you train with?
The squad we are, that's a triathlon squad. So the other guys, they are also cycling and running and everything, but I am doing just the swimming part with them. And we are like between 6 and 10. It depends, yeah.
And so what does a typical pool training session look like for you?
I'm doing a lot of basic endurance because I'm training for the longer distances. So I'm training a lot in zone 2, but there are also some sprints and some medley too. So yeah, so it's quite mixed up and depending on the season where I am.
Yeah, sounds good. And do you use much equipment in the water? Are you big into kick and pull and fins, snorkels, things like that?
Yes. So I said I just started 7 years ago. So I was never a swimmer as a child. I could swim, but I was not doing it as a sport or training it. So I was just for fun, swimming for fun. And yes, I'm doing a lot of equipment because I'm working a lot on my technique. And I think there's no chance to improve the technique without equipment, or it's very hard and takes a long time. So of course I'm doing a lot of things with fins, paddles, snorkel. Yeah, so a lot of technical swims. Yeah.
Yeah, and what are some of the technical things that you're working on improving?
At the time I'm working mostly on the high elbow catch. No, so I'm doing some drills with tennis balls and holding the paddle in my hand because of the start of the catch. So I think that's the biggest issue at the moment, the high elbow catch. Yeah.
What sort of when you're training by yourself, how do you keep the motivation at a high level that you're training enough to get sort of, you know, training gains or physical gains from that workout?
You know, I think the motivation is not the most important part for me. I am more fan of consistency, you know. So it's like some days I'm more motivated, some days less, but I know my goal, you know. I know when my next race is and what I would like to achieve, and I know that I just need to go consistently train to do my 6 to 7 trainings per week. It can be some of them will be better, some of them will be less good, because I'm working full time. You know, sometimes I'm going to swim before the work, sometimes after the work, sometimes on my free days. So the motivation is not always there, but I am trying to be consistent. So I have my plan. I just go in the pool, I start to swim, and sometimes it feels great and sometimes it don't feel so good, but I just want to stay consistent always.
Yeah, look, I think that's the key to improving is consistency, and I think exactly what you say is correct. Yeah, that's really good.
You know, a lot of people find it hard to always to go to the pool and train. I love trainings. You know, I have the plan what I should do. I know already if it will be hard or not, but doesn't matter. I just go in because I like to do it. You know, I like every stroke. That's my hobby. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same. I think the hardest part is actually getting to the pool, but once you're there and you're training, I think that, you know, it just blows.
Yeah. The hardest part is to go out of the home. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, for sure.
Then we'll be everything good.
Yeah. What do you do in your professional life?
I am working as a FMB supervisor, so it is a like kind of a head waiter in a 5-star hotel here in Vienna.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So do you have to work shift work with that?
Yeah.
So that's
5 days a week, but sometimes working in the morning and sometimes in the evening.
Yeah. Depends. So that's tough fitting in your training around it, because you have to change the times each week with shift
work.
Yes,
I'm changing the times always.
Yeah. That's good. And so, as you mentioned, you when you're not ice swimming, or when you're coming into your summer there, which you're just coming out of in the Northern Hemisphere, you're doing open water swimming. So you've got a little bit of time before that comes about for next summer. What races have you got coming up that you're aiming for in the open water marathon swimming scene?
Yeah, you know, it's quite hard. I'm just planning the summer season now at the moment. There was a plan of swimming in November this year, so like 1 month ago. I wanted to swim the Sea of Galilee in Israel. But because of the situation there, it's not possible to travel to Israel, so we just needed to cancel it. And at the moment, I'm thinking of if I should try to reschedule it for the next year, or should I book another different swim? Yeah, so at the moment I'm just searching what to do. Yeah, I have a few possibilities for the next year, but I'm not sure what which I will choose. Yeah. I was thinking also about Lake Tahoe, you know.
Yes.
In California.
Yep.
Yeah, that's also one chance, because there would be a swim window free and there will be a possibility to swim it. So I'm just discussing it at the moment.
Yes. Yeah, I've actually had one of the boat captains that does that Lake Tahoe swim on the podcast, and she talked a lot about that. So, yeah, if you get a chance, go back and have a listen to that, because she had lots of really good advice for Lake Tahoe.
Was that Sylvia?
Yeah,
right?
Sylvia. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I know.
Yeah.
I think I heard that podcast. I listened to it.
Yeah, already. Okay. Yeah, she's really experienced at Lake Tahoe. Yeah.
Yes, she is. I was swimming Alcatraz with their company.
Right. Okay. Yeah. How long is the Lake the Galileo?
The Galileo, it was 21 kilometers. 21. So not really long, but there are some currents. So it's not really the lightest swim. Yeah.
And would you look at doing something longer than that, like the English Channel or something like that? Is something that in your sights?
I did the North Channel in a two-way relay. So we did it there and back, four guys. We was the first four-person relay who did the North Channel. It was hard. It was really hard. And yeah, I'm thinking to do something like this, but somehow my dream would be to swim something which was never swum before.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find a place where nobody swam before me, the length of a lake or some crossing or something like this. Yeah, so This would be my dream to do.
Yes, and obviously you can't tell us that because it's a secret. You don't want someone else discovering it.
Because someone else will do it maybe earlier than me,
Yeah, I know. I've had a few open water swimmers come on and say similar things, actually. And there's Andy Donaldson, who just did the Ocean 7 this year. He's I think he's got some of those swims underway, but he can't mention them at the moment because other people might jump on board.
And not also other people. It's not only because of the other people, but also, you know, the world is big. You know, there are a lot of places to swim, and you need to discuss with the associations, with boat captains and everything. So I have always like 10 plans, and some of them will work, some not. You know, there's the weather also, which is playing a big role in marathon swimming. So, yeah, it's hard to plan.
No. Yeah, and look, what you've mentioned, they're all sort of solo swims. Are there any open water races that you would like to include over the next year or two?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I would like to swim Lake Zurich.
Where's that?
Switzerland.
Oh, in Switzerland, yes.
That's a lake 27 kilometers long. And it is a beautiful swim, and it is also a race, so I would like to, but they have very limited starting places, so I'm trying already for 2 years to swim
it. Wow.
Yeah, and now maybe this year there will be a chance to do it. We will see. But for sure I will do some local races here in Austria, like 10K and 14K and everything, to be prepared for something bigger.
And how many starters do they take for the race in Switzerland?
Yeah, I think they take only 20 or 25 starters. Yeah, they are all guided by a boat, and yeah.
No, okay. Well, fingers crossed that you get to do that one, because it sounds lovely. The lakes in Switzerland are absolutely beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, yes, they are. Yeah.
They're that beautiful sort of blue.
Yeah, like something blue green water. Yeah. And very clear. Yeah, you can almost drink it while swimming there.
Yeah, stunning. Yeah. What's the water quality like in Austria?
It's perfect. You know, here in Vienna, where I'm training, you can see all the fishes and everything. It's really, really clear. And in the winter time, it's much more clear than in the summertime, because the small boats are not moving, the water is more calm. Yeah. And in the winter time, it's really very, very nice. But in the summer also, and there are a lot of beautiful lakes in Austria, in the mountains, where it's also very nice to swim. Yeah, I swam already a few of them, the length of them, like Fuschelsee or Attersee. There are a lot of them, and they have also very high water quality. So it's great to swim here and train.
Yes. Are the only sort of sea creatures in those lakes fish, or is there other things as well?
Not really, only fish.
Only That's fish, it. Yes. Yeah. Yes, because in Australia we obviously have many, many sharks.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we know.
So you're very lucky that's that's the case.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And what's it like being part of such a... you know, a wonderful global swimming community? You have quite a big presence on social media and a lot of followers. Have you connected with people around the world because of that?
Yeah, with a lot of them. Yeah. So I started to do this social media thing a few years ago when I was racing, and my wife told me it would be maybe a good idea to share with the world what crazy thing I'm doing. So I started to post every day. And it was maybe like 3 or 3.5 years ago. And from that time, I'm doing it every day. And I'm trying to share with other people what I'm doing and to motivate them to do it as well. And it helped me a lot to connect with other swimmers. And when I traveled for some swims, I always, in every part of the world, I found somebody. And he helped me to prepare for that swim, or showed me the best parts of the country where I was. And I'm also welcoming other swimmers, if they are coming from the world, to Vienna or to Austria, just to contact me, and I can help them out a little bit. So it's really a big help to be connected with other people and to have new friends because of this.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Do you do all of that social media yourself?
Yes, I'm doing it all. Yeah, myself. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
So it's like the videos, the most of the videos are made by my wife. So she's guiding me with a boat or yeah, she's doing a lot of videos about me. But yeah, I'm posting everything. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that's nice that she comes along for those open water swims with you.
Yeah, she's coming to the most important races or sometimes to trainings too. Yeah, and she's doing it.
Yeah. Is she a swimmer as well?
No, she's not. No, she's a runner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she loves to run. Yeah.
So do you go and support her when she does her running races?
Yeah, I supported her with her first marathon.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And yeah, it's hard to do more support, you know, if I need to do my own trainings.
Yes.
And our work is different. So she's working in other times than me. And then she needs to train and I need to train. So it's, yeah, we try to deal somehow with this.
Sounds like a really busy life that you've got there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And what's the swimming scene like in Austria? Are there a lot of swimmers and a lot of ice swimmers?
There are not really a lot of swimmers. Austria is more famous, you know, for skiing and some winter sports, ski jump and things like this. Not really much swimmers and also not so much ice swimmers, but the community is getting bigger and bigger every year, you know. So it's like now, if there's a race in Austria, we are maybe somewhere between 80 and 100 swimmers at the race. So it's not a big community, but the positive thing is it's growing from year to year, always more and more people doing it.
And is there many races on the schedule over the winter period in Austria?
Here in Austria, we have only two races per winter season, but I'm coming from Slovakia. That's the next country next to Austria. And there is a much bigger race season. They have like 7 or 8 races in the season. So I'm trying to combine these two. So I'm taking a part of these two Austrian races. And if I have time, I go over to Slovakia and I race there too.
So, oh, fantastic. Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. And you're so close.
Yeah, it's really close. It's like 1 hour by car or something.
Yeah, so that's amazing. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
Peter, everyone that comes on the podcast, I like to ask them 5 deep dive questions, which gives us a bit of a snapshot about their swimming. So just give me the first answer that pops into your mind. What's the favorite pool that you've ever swum in?
Budapest. It was in Budapest. Yeah, the arena. It's a new beautiful pool, 50 meters, but I can split it to 2 times 25. And I think that's the most beautiful pool. It was like 2 or 3 weeks for when I was for the first time there, and I love it.
Sounds beautiful. And what about your favorite open water swimming location?
Favorite open water swimming location is, I think, here in Austria, it is the Lake Fuschelsee. That's a beautiful lake. It's like only 5 kilometers in the length. I did a double there for a few years ago, so 10K. And I think that's the most beautiful location. A lot of people can see it on my Instagram. I was swimming. The water is completely green, you know, very light green, beautiful to swim there. So I think that's my favorite location for open water swimming.
I don't know whether you've ever considered this, but I always know when I go to different types of places to swim, all the water feels slightly different, even pools that I swim in. What does the water feel like in that beautiful place to swim? Does it makes you float, or does it keep you low in the water? What's the sort of feeling that you get?
You know, I don't really feel difference in the water, but more in the nature around me, you know, the color of the water, the trees, and all the nature around. That's so interesting. It's so beautiful that I don't really felt a difference in the water, but more in these colors and the nature.
How often do you sight when you're swimming? How many strokes before you sight?
It depends if I am guided by a boat or not. So if I'm guided by the boat, I'm breathing to the side where the boat is, and I don't need to side to the front. And but if there's no boat and I am just swimming outside, I'm sighting maybe every 10th stroke or something like this. But also depends if it's just training or a race, if they're swimming somebody next to me or not. But let's take the situation I am alone and swimming open water, so I would take every 10th stroke.
Yeah, do you use a float for visibility when you swim open water?
Yes, if I swim open water, I always use it. Yet, not only because of the visibility, but also mostly if I'm going to swim somewhere, I'm going by car, so I keep all my belongings in the car, and I just take the car key, put it in my buoy, and that's it. Yeah, but it's good for everything, for visibility and for safety too. Yeah, if there's a longer distance I'm swimming, then maybe I can take a drink also or a gel into my buoy, so it's also helping to carry my thing.
And what's your favorite freestyle training drill?
Favorite freestyle training drill? Yeah, it's maybe the Superman drill. You know, that's if your one hand is in the front, the other one next to your body, and you are doing like six kicks, and then you do one stroke, you change your hands, and then your other hand is in the front, you make again six kicks and change. Yeah, so you like at the situation you look like Superman flying, you know, one hand in the front, one in the back, and doing some kicks only. I think I like that one. Yeah, but there are, you know, I always trying to change it up and do always some other drills. Because if you do one drill a lot, then it starts to get boring and it's not helping so much to improve the technique. So I like to change them up, to do always something else, to find my two to three mistakes or two to three problems with my technique, which are not perfect, and always work on them.
Yeah, great advice. And I think videoing yourself too, when you can look at that later, you can pick up those mistakes and then you can self-correct. And how about your favorite training set?
It was like I don't know if it's my favorite, but a few days ago I did a very good one. It was the main set was 4 times 400. The first was always with parachute. The second was with pull buoy and paddles, but a bit faster. Okay. So always one with parachute and the second one with paddles and pull buoy, but faster. And this 4 times. I think that this is very good. It was like I finished my training and I had a feeling that I'm faster already because it was so hard to do and so technically complicated. You know, 400 meters with a parachute and then the next 400 a bit faster and then again with the parachute and then again faster. It was so demanding that I think that's a very good one.
Yeah, okay. And how much rest were you taking between the 400s?
I took 30 seconds rest.
Last question. Who's the swimmer that you most admire?
You know, there are a lot of good ice swimmers and a lot of good marathon swimmers, but if I need to choose one, I would say it's Krzysztof Raszowski. It's the one of the best open water swimmers from Hungary. A young guy, I think he won now the fourth times the open water swimming cup. So I think he's the best. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, Peter. It's been lovely hearing all about ice swimming. I'm intrigued to try it, but it sounds really cold. But wishing you lots of success for those two comps you've got coming up in February. And yeah, if I ever make it over to Austria, I'll be sure to look you up for a swim.
Yeah, thank you very much. It would be great to meet. Yeah, so if you come over, just contact me on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, have a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Okay, then, bye.
Bye bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with Peter today. Look out for our December newsletter in your inbox in the next week, which always has some extra information for our subscribers. If you want to join our email list, please send us an email at torpedoswimtalk@gmail.com and we will add in your details. Thanks for joining me on the podcast this year. I hope you've really enjoyed all our episodes and hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. Till next time, happy swimming and bye for now.